Hello and welcome to Women of Influence Podcast.
Hi, I'm Jaylen with J Group Real Estate Team.
The Great American Speak Off.
One of my favorites.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to yet another Women of Influence podcast. Today, I have the lovely Nicole Russo with Let's Get You. Welcome, Nicole.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to talk. This is such an honor to be on your podcast and really appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, thank you. Trust me, the honor is all mine. I'm so excited to talk to you today. And it's like, it's a topic that I personally am very interested in and also need help with personally. So we can talk about that later. But listen, the audience, Nicole is all about helping people to look and feel like the rock stars they truly are, regardless of their size or what's held them back before. From the Saudi royal family to Google big shots and even New York Times wordsmiths, Nicole has dressed them all. So, Nicole, tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into styling?
It was a complete accident. You know, typically fashion is filled with Nepo babies and people that were kind of born into the industry. And I grew up in a little two-stoplight podunk country town in upstate New York. And I came to New York, went to FIT studying advertising, thinking I would be a copywriter and marketer. And, you know, a few years after graduation, I was as lost as most 20-somethings are. And a friend of mine helped me stumble into styling. So she was getting this fancy new job and was like, oh, can you help me? I need to go shopping. And it was like breathing. It was like the easiest thing I'd ever done. And I didn't even know I knew how to do it. Up until that point, I'd always loved clothes and thought fashion was fun, but not Valentino and Prada. I mean, I was shopping at JCPenney. Like I was a poor college student, you know? And from there, it just ignited this passion for fashion and also for helping people. And I went out and I bought Small Business for Dummies. And I Googled my way into building a small business where I built a client base and shortly lied my way into a personal shopping job in a mall in Anthropology in Long Island. Yeah. And, you know, within a few years, I was sitting front row at Fashion Week and I was doing all the glamorous things in fashion that you would imagine. I was air kissing in uncomfortable shoes. I was on famous people's like boats. I was doing all the things that you would expect when you work with the top 2% customer base at Net-a-Porter, which is what I was doing. And it was incredible in all the ways you'd imagine. And it was as vapid and unfulfilling in all the ways you'd imagine. And it was with that I really went back to the heart of why I do what I do, which is to empower and inspire and create abundant confidence for people to live their best life. And since 2018, I left corporate America and I've been running my styling company, Let's Get You, and working with real life superstars who are building the life of their dreams.
I love that so much. Such a fascinating story. And the fact that you basically got into it by accident, that is such a cool story. Like back to what you were saying about when you were in college trying to be a copywriter and you were basically like hating it and miserable. Like when I was in college, I thought I wanted to be in advertising and work for an ad agency and come up with the next big Nike slogan. I ended up getting into real estate a few years later, so that never quite worked out. But isn't it funny how when we're young, we have these like grand ideas and think we know what we want, and then in reality, it ends up being something completely opposite.
Well, the fascinating thing is I really believe when you look at everything that you are and everything that you've done, it always culminates into the perfect place you're supposed to be. Like I had this obsession with, you know, aesthetics in general. You know, I grew up loving watching TV shows simply for what the clothes they were wearing. And And, you know, but I never really even knew there was a fashion industry. I also loved marketing. I loved business. And, you know, I didn't really know that, like, my marketing background and my obsession with blogs and all of these things that came out of this early, like, these formative years was going to increase and impact my entire career as well, you know? So it is really interesting, the path we choose and then the one we end up on. But in some ways, like, it doesn't surprise me that I ended up in sales in fashion. I remember being a very young, like, post-grad or in school, and I think I remember choosing my career path simply because I didn't have to wear, like, stodgy, uptight clothes to work. That was, like, one of the reasons I chose it. I was like, oh, whatever I want, like, and wear whatever I want. And who knew that that was, like, going to be a part of my ethos for the rest of my life?
That's amazing. Now, I know for me, and looking back in my young adulthood and even in my childhood, I never really felt like I had a sense of, you know, how to dress myself, how to style myself. You know, obviously I know how to get dressed, but and so with the people that you've worked with, have you found that they have the same sense, like, I don't know what to wear, I don't know how to style myself? Or do you feel like the majority of them were coming to you and they just need, like, an extra little, I don't know, je ne sais quoi, a little extra push, a little extra pizzazz?
Well, like a zhuzh. I mean, it's kind of a little bit of both, to be honest. Some people are really starting out from nowhere, or they're starting off feeling really lost and don't have an idea where to go, right? And then there are people that feel a little bit more, like, confident and secure in certain areas, but then there's just other things that just, like, have always held them back. Certain categories of clothing, or perhaps because of those limitations they have. And then you combine it with, like, an hyper busy scheduled or specific dress code demands, things that just make it even more challenging. It's easier and better for them to outsource it to an expert. So both people are kind of straddling similar challenges in that they're, like, they are short on time. They're wasting a lot of energy and mental space and, like, decision fatigue on trying to solve this, but they may be in different stages in their style journey, but they still need the solution for similar reasons. And even if they are pretty, you know, feeling confident and versed in certain areas, they may be bored and they want something to kind of drive them out of their comfort zone. Typically, even if you feel like you're really good at something, there's someone who does it better. And, you know, clients are generally speaking, like, if they have felt confident most of their life, or they've felt really great about their style, they've been through some sort of transition phase. Like, they are postpartum, or they've moved from a very conservative field to a more casual field. And trying to understand how to fit into those spaces can be very overwhelming when you have other life responsibilities. And they also sometimes are, like, huge different stages of life. Like, menopause is a huge thing for women, where not only has their exact, well, yeah, like, it's, I mean, it's a magnetic point of your life where you've shifted into this other phase physically, emotionally, mentally, and it changes the way you live your life and it changes your body significantly. So that there are drivers. So someone could feel really good, but they might not have the tools and the competency to achieve their style goals. And who wants to waste hours a month or a week trying to figure this out? Exactly. I don't even like shopping for myself sometimes. Are you kidding? Like, I do this for a living and I'm good at this. Like, I'm exceptional at this. Like, I'm probably one of the best stylists in the entire world. And I could do this drunk, like, while hungover, still kind of drunk and still knock it out the park. And I sometimes find myself, when I have to shop for a specific event or a specific category, I'm like, oh, I don't want to do this, because it's a lot of work, you know. It's way more fun to do it for my clients.
Oh, I love that so much. I feel the same way. I hate shopping for myself, but occasionally, like, if my husband comes with me, he'll pick out something that's fabulous. And I have noticed, like, what other people think looks good on me actually does in fact look really, really good on me. And it helps give me a lot more confidence. So let's talk about unleashing your style confidence. Like, How has it been scientifically shown how dressing well to feel confident in your appearance can actually boost your self-esteem, likability, and motivation?
So one of my favorite things about this is that there is science behind it, and there's so many, there's dozens of studies. And one in which in particular is, if you may have, you may or may not have heard of Amy Cuddy, and she did this famous TED talk that is all about power posing and the influence that your stance has on not only your level of confidence, but the way that it actually impacts how your brain operates. And therefore, impacts those around you. And the reason like that is that has something to do with what you wear is that what you have on your body directly impacts your posture. We've all probably remember the era of sweatpants and, you know, stay home, where that definitely causes a lot of slouching, causes a lot of relaxed poses. And when you're wearing things that are more structured, like a blazer or fitted jeans, even a full suit, it forces you to sit up straight because it's the formal fitting of the clothing requires you to have a stance. Correct. Exactly. So it's almost like a way to create that positioning of power posing, which has been proven to influence your brain and your attitude and those around you without actually having to do anything other than choose the right kind of clothes. Look at you over there. Like, see, it's like
full disclosure. I'm wearing my sweatpants underneath this blazer.
But it's still like, it did what it needed to do. Like the top half did what it needed to do. And, you know, another thing I really like is the idea that we can almost trick our mind about, you know, our status based on what we wear. So essentially, to summarize it simply without going into it, you can imagine wearing a white lab coat. There's a famous study that talked about this and the influence of how we self-perceive based on what we think we are. And they used the white lab coat concept as the catalyst for this self-perception. And they told a group of people they were a doctor, and then they told them they were painters, and, you know, who believed that they were a doctor and who believed they were a painter, and that social status and that competency that came with that. So there's a certain amount of power behind believing in the identity of who you're dressing up to be. Like if you're dressing up as a slumpadinka, then maybe that's the perception you'll have of yourself versus someone who is dynamic and stylish and interesting and, you know, has a presence. And if you dress as that person, you will therefore believe she is, and so will others. And there's great power in being able to make that choice.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like such good stuff. I'm like, I can't get the lab coat out of my vision now. I can see it very clearly. And I'm like, I'm going to go for the doctor.
Yeah. I mean, I have a PhD, right?
Like, yeah, exactly. PhD in fashion styling. So let's talk about self-expression. How can personal style be a powerful form of self-expression and motivation to be true to oneself without compromising your goals?
So I love this actually, because the way that you are able to differentiate yourself in the world is through your unique snowflake, right? You are that person, especially in business. When you have an opportunity to stand out in a way that people actually like you better, what you do is that you understand and define what the boundaries are that everyone has expects of you, i.e. a dress code, what's appropriate, all that kind of thought process. And then you integrate who you are into it. And that can be like an element of scruffiness, like perhaps like having a beard as an example, but a manicured beard because you're in a more formal setting. It can be embracing your natural hair texture, which is going to separate you from people who have opposite hair texture, but also give you an opportunity to embrace like your natural beauty. I mean, things like your favorite colors or whatever you're organically drawn to, integrating small elements of that into the way that you present your style. I mean, every famous person does this very well when they're very well dressed. An example would be like Mrs. Obama, when she was doing her book tours, she embraced very dynamic fashion, but did it in a conservative way most of the time. She was wearing a lot of suiting, but she would wear bright colors or rich satins, as an example. I mean, and then there were surprising moments with like sparkly boots. And if you look at even, you know, people like other people in the public eye who are, you know, not maybe politicians, but, you know, celebrities or ones that, you know, like Jennifer Aniston is a really good example as well, because people think that she's boring because she always wears black and she's always neutral, blah, 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 blah. But what's great about that is that she sticks with what she likes and she's, but she always still looks good. The standard of her status never changes, even though, and you come to know what to expect and trust from her, is that it will always be elegant and sophisticated. And that in itself can be your marker.
Yeah, she always looks fabulous. I love her so much. She's one of my favorite friends.
I mean, I think she's one of everybody's.
Yeah, she's just adorable. Well, let's talk about career productivity. Can you offer some tips and motivation for dressing professionally and how it can actually impact your career productivity?
Oh, well, one of the ways that I find it to be incredibly effective is the way that you can transition your day. So a lot of times our lives blend together, a lot of people working from home, they have like, you know, families, or they, if they're self-employed, you know, our lives blend together. So I always like to invite people to have the transition in their day, regardless, like regardless of where they're working or what they're doing. So that means that, you know, at least a few times a week, if you're not in office or something, that you do actually put yourself together head to toe as a transition, so you create habit. And then therefore that identity of a stylish, put together person is solidified forever. And you don't slide back into old patterns that maybe make you feel like inconsistent with that identity that you've established before.
Yeah, that is so good. I know personally, I do find when I get up, get showered, put my makeup on, get dressed professionally for the day and act as if I am that superstar, right? That superstar realtor. I do notice that, you know, not only my confidence is boosted, but definitely my productivity as well. I'm not sitting around getting distracted by scrolling on Instagram, for instance.
And, you know, I don't have any science or any proof behind this one, but I've heard and I've tried it, is that if you could wear shoes in the house, and that I'm not a big believer in shoes in the house, but if you have a pair that you're willing to wear, they have clean soles, that there's something, think about it. When you go to the office or you go to like show a house, you're wearing shoes, right?
So exactly.
I think that that's a really effective method to telling yourself that you're on right now, because you have your work shoes.
Exactly. I'm wearing my stilettos, baby.
I mean, they can be loafers, but yeah.
Awesome. Nicole, let's discuss the role of fashion in promoting body positivity and motivating people to actually embrace their bodies, like regardless of what size they are.
Okay, so I'm really passionate about this, not just because my clients are have been a wide range of sizes, is that I myself, for probably the first 29 years of my life, really struggled with maintaining my weight and the really poor feelings that can come with your clothes not fitting and feeling like overwhelmed by, you know, having to find ones that do. And, you know, what I always say is that, like, unfortunately, we've been indoctrinated into believing that if you aren't hiding your body, you're not really wearing the right kind of clothes. Women generally, millennials, Gen Xers, and older, have always been taught that the only way to dress to flatter yourself is by camouflaging it or making it smaller. Mm-hmm. And I wholeheartedly disagree with the concept that flattering is a bad word. I do believe you should flatter yourself. Your body, regardless of its size, its age, its shape, is exactly where it is supposed to be. And if whether you're choosing to change it or it's been in it changing for a while, if you embrace dressing that body exactly where it is now, you're going to have a much smoother transition to whatever space in your life you're going to. So, for example, I often hear from people, I've had some body changes recently, or I'm trying to lose weight, or I've gained weight, or weight just isn't distributed the same. Like, all of these things come up for everyone's body changes for different reasons. And when you don't have things that make you feel good to wear daily, it's a frequent reminder that you feel inadequate. There's something wrong with that body. But if you feel really amazing and have things that fit that body, you will come to accept that body more. So I tell people, even if it's a few outfits, it's a few basics, it's better to embrace the body you're currently in and then make changes in your wardrobe when you reach a different kind of body, if that happens, because you will find the joy of your everyday and learn to love the what you're living in a much easier way. And it's really impactful and powerful, because it doesn't matter if you're a size 16 or a size 6, like, there are clothes for you. You can feel good. The industry sucks if you can't, if your size is a little bigger, but they do exist. It doesn't, you're being petite or tall is not a reason for you to not find what you need. It exists, I promise you.
I love that. Can you? I will need your help in finding some petite athletic clothing, because I find myself wearing gym clothes 24/7 because they fit and they're comfortable. They're like nice and stretchy and form fitting, and I feel good in them. So that's what I want to wear.
You're not the only one. That's most.
Yeah. Let's just be real.
That's my 5'11 girlfriends too. They're the same.
It's for everyone. So, Nicole, can you provide some practical advice and motivation on how to use fashion to boost your confidence in various life situations?
Well, I would always say, I think that you need to have like a solid foundation. So that means that you need to have foundational pieces that really work for you. And those pieces are your 9-monthers. It doesn't matter your climate or your lifestyle, but there are the elements of real clothing, like jeans or sneakers or t-shirts or blouses or blazers or whatever is the kind of aesthetic that you go for. Those 9-monthers, the ones that you wear the majority of the year, you should have solid styles that you love, because with those are the ones you're going to grab the most. Those are the ones you're going to make the outfits out of the most. And if you don't have them, I would focus on making sure that you build that part of your wardrobe first, because that's where being confident in your clothing begins, in the things that you have in your closet. And I'd also say is that if you're shopping to try and, you know, fill that void, but you're not quite clear on what you need or what kind of pants you're looking for example, stop shopping. Get clear. So that you can get clear by two ways. You need to edit your closet so you really know what you have and what you don't have and what you need. And you also need to have images of exactly how you want to look. It doesn't matter if you think you can pull it off. It doesn't matter if you feel it's age appropriate. That's irrelevant. What's relevant is, do you love it? Because if you know where you're going, you know how what to get rid of, and you'll eventually know when you shop again what you really need to buy. And then it doesn't matter where you're going, what events you have, whether it's work or a date, because when you're shopping and you're dressing for the events that come in your life. So if you have those foundation pieces, and you realize and you edit your closet, you have great jeans and you have fabulous trousers and 6 shoes, but you have like no date tops. You have nothing to wear on a date. Well, now we know. That's why when you have a date, you have nothing to wear. So best thing to do is to formulate. And then when you have an image of what your favorite date night look would be, and you know you have a trouser that matches one of those looks, you go out and you find the right tops or the right pairings. So that way you always have the perfect date look. And you can do that for every category of your life. Perfect wardrobe.
I love that. That's such good advice. And speaking of staples, I think everybody should also have a pantsuit, like a black jumpsuit in their wardrobe. Like those, in my opinion, are so fabulous. You can dress them up, dress them down, wearing with flip-flops, wearing with high heels. What is your thought on that, Nicole?
On a pantsuit? I mean, I love a jumpsuit. I think a matching set is a really great resource. It's an easy head-to-toe look. It's sort of the alternate little black dress. But even if you love a pantsuit or a jumpsuit, but if someone listening is like, oh, I don't like that in jumpsuits, or they just immediately cringe at the idea of a pantsuit, it's not about the pantsuit. Your point is that you should have a go-to that you feel great in. You know, this is a style you love. And, you know, figuring out what that is, well, that's how you carve out your personal style. That's how you feel like you know what to look for. And that also, again, begins with editing your closet and knowing what the ideal image you have is.
Yeah, you said it so much better than me. I really appreciate that. So, Nicole, how does one get a hold of you if they want to hire you for your services?
Oh, I would love to connect with anyone. You can find me at letsgetyou.com. It's spelled just like it sounds, but you can also find me on Instagram at _letsgetyou, where I share a lot of tips and a lot of information, and mostly get into my DMs. You can ask me questions and get some real value and support in making those changes.
I love that. Thank you so much. This has been such a blast, Nicole, and I'm definitely going to be hitting you up to get some stylish tips personally, because I do struggle with that, as I mentioned earlier. And I just had just the best time ever. Is there anything you would like to leave our audience with before we go?
I always like to say that everybody wants the confidence of a badly dressed person that doesn't know it, because in the end, it's not about the clothes. It's about the attitude.
That is so good. I will try to remember that. I'll put it in my little notepad on my phone. Great advice, Nicole. Thank you so much.
Thank you.